Hey, welcome back to Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians who are figuring it out as they make their way through life and comedy and everything in between. My name is Matt Alana Martin. With me, as always, is Dwight Simmons. Dwight, how are you doing? You look so cozy and comfy today.
I am comfy and cozy from the comforts of my basement. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling good. Matt, I went to an open mic last week.
Okay, yeah.
Jump right
okay.
in, dude. Like, yeah. Dude, I went to a damn open mic.
Like, now that I feel like you're really capitalizing the open part of this. Like,
it wasn't at a club.
Yeah, okay.
It was at a brewery in Greenwood. So I drove 35 minutes.
Okay. And you use that time just to run that set and just get it where you can just crush it.
Right.
And,
like, in front of, just like a willing audience that mm-hmm. definitely knew that comedy was going on.
Yeah.
No, like, that's the thing, like, coming back from vacation,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I'd been on stage for, like, 3 days before that, so it ended up being, like, a full 2 weeks I was off, and then I was just mm-hmm. like, I gotta go, no matter what. I texted Helium to see if I can get on their open mic.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't having one, so.
Yeah, yeah, we can talk about that, too. Like, the Helium is not having open mics right now, and I guess it's in lead up to the summer contest, because I was trying to coordinate. I made like a master list of open mics for my students, right?
Yeah.
For the advanced class. And Cracker's open mic is booked up like 7 weeks in advance or some crazy shit like that. And I think the reason why is because Helium's just not doing open mics right now for whatever reason.
Right.
So, yeah. So you had to go. You had to,
go
down a notch.
Go rough it.
Mm-hmm.
I did. It's fine, man. It's an open mic at a brewery. I just drove mm-hmm. 35 minutes and they let me do as much time as I wanted, which was not a lot because I did not want to do a lot of time. I walked in.
So you did like 2 minutes and you were like, that's enough. I'm good.
Even at an open mic, which I didn't enjoy, I still managed to go over my time. I am on brand. I walked in. There were 7 comics, all dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Couple I recognized. So I've made the joke. It felt like I walked into a 4chan meeting. Just a 4chan meetup. You guys want to come to a safe space?
Uh-huh. Old school. I like that. You're going with the 4chan. It's nice.
Yeah. That's my specific brand of humor, outdated references.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did get to talk aloud into a microphone, which they used a wireless mic. It went dead. They had a backup wireless mic. It went dead. And so they plugged in this toy Mattel, like, it had like 4 inches of cord next to the PA. Real nice. Real nice.
Yeah. I could tell you've been wanting to talk about this because, man, we were like 45 seconds into the podcast. You're like, I went to an open mic and I need to talk about it.
I didn't even, Matt, how are you doing? I didn't even ask.
No, it's fine. No,
no
we need to process this trauma. We need to process this trauma so that we can have a good, healthy rest of the session or episode of the podcast, whichever way you want to take it, it's fine.
Yeah, that's
all right. So you talked into this microphone and you talked into this toy microphone with 4 inches of cable to work with there. And how did it feel? Like, do you feel like it was worth doing it just to like get back up on stage and just to kind of talk? Were you running new stuff or you were just kind of trying to dust the cobwebs off?
I had a couple of new jokes about Mexico that I wanted to get up. And then I was featuring at Commonwealth. So I wanted to like, dust off the cobwebs of some of the newer stuff I've been working on,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which I'm glad I did it because it felt foreign. I don't know if it's because of the time I took off or the environment that I was in, but I was like, oh, trying to remember the beats.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm glad I did it. It's fun to make fun of when you do bad open mics. It's part of the thing. I just don't do them anymore. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, we're at a point. Yeah, we're at a point now in our careers where we get enough stage time that we can work on new stuff. We can be picky.
Yeah.
But what I think is still valuable to take from this, if there's like newer comics listening to the podcast, is like, it's very easy to be like, oh, that open mic's terrible or whatever and get down, but you can still get some work done. Like you mm-hmm. worked on a couple new jokes, you know, you said them out loud first. And then again, I know, like you said, it was good that you kind of had a run through before your paid weekend spots where you needed to kind of just feel. Now, let me ask you, in this 4chan meetup where you did these jokes about Mexico, did anyone give you the notes? Could have been more racist. Could have gone more racist. It's right there, Dwight. You're talking about Mexico. You could have gotten real racist.
You didn't bring up the border.
Yeah.
You didn't bring up a weird food item to call a population of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No racial slurs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know if that material is for everyone, if it's not trendy enough, not racist enough. No, it was I'm glad I did it. I probably will start doing a couple of mics over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I can fill in a couple of weeks where I don't have like paid spots. Because I need to work on this material and I need to stop being a little bitch about it and actually go and just do it.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's a good balance for people at our level or really any level. Like if you don't have a paid show that week, then go hit a mic. You know, it's going to be one night. You're still going to be home more than you normally would be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go hit a mic, work on some stuff. Don't get too precious about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't get to, I just wrote, this is for everyone that listened last week. I've just been sticky noting number two on everything because that's number where two. My album debuted.
Yeah. Okay.
So anytime I don't want to go to a mic, I'll look at the number two. And I'll take my ass to a mic. That's not true. I promise you, I did not do that.
If you would have done more open mics, you would have hit number one for sure. That's what it was. You just ain't got that hashtag grind, that hashtag hustle, my friend.
Yeah, I let the grind culture grind me down into a stump.
Yep.
There's nothing left. No, I promise I did not do that. But I'm excited, dude. I'm like stuff is finally starting to appear in the bits that I, you know, that I've been working on for a little while, which is an exciting time.
It is exciting. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know.
What's it like to have new bits? Because it's been a minute for me. What's that feel like?
It's hard.
That's right. That's why I don't do it. Okay. Yeah. You're right.
It's only fun when you get to a point. I feel like I've been talking about this since December, like these bits that I'm trying to figure out. And it's just
But sometimes, I mean, particularly if you're doing a longer piece or a more ambitious piece, like it takes a long time, you know, like I'm sure I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I've had certain jokes that have taken 6 months to figure out,
mm-hmm.
but you believe in them enough. You're like, nope, I like, you know, this, there's something here. The core idea is strong enough. I just need to figure out why it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, man, sometimes they just take time. I was just talking about this. I've started teaching this advanced stand-up practicum at the Center for the Performing Arts. And we had our first one on Monday.
Advanced.
Yeah. And so it's much more like they come in like night one with 5 minutes of material and run it.
Oh, nice.
And so the idea of the structure of the advanced class is really drilling down and perfecting a 5 minute set and like making tough choices and like cutting any fat, cutting weak jokes, replacing with stronger jokes, like really kind of doing it. And then also through repetition, like the idea is they're also expected to hit at least one open mic per week outside of class.
Yeah.
And so, and then to come back and talk about those experiences and what was it like? What did you learn from that mic? You know, da 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 da. But then we also have a portion of the class, which is like an inside the actor studio segment where I bring in somebody to talk about their experience in comedy, their perspective, you know, so it's not just me. They're not just getting my take on comedy. So we brought in Emily Davis.
Nice.
And, you know, Emily's been doing about 8 years now. She's, you know, she won the Bloomington contest. She's been featured in a couple of festivals, but she still has a day job and she still has this balanced life work thing, you know, with mm-hmm. comedy. So it's a good, like, okay, you know, rather than just jumping straight to like Brent Terhune, like
right.
here's a guy that's been featured on the LA Times and like, right. you know, has millions of followers and shit like that. And just kind of like, okay, here's this perspective here. But she and I in conversation before we started opening up to I think this was spurred by a student's question, was talking about how sometimes jokes are never done.
Mm-hmm.
You think a joke has been done for a couple of years and then one night you
just
take it in a new direction. And mm-hmm. that recently happened to me. Like, and within the last couple of weeks, there's been a couple of jokes that I've been doing for probably a couple of years now And for whatever reason, a certain night sparked a thing, and now I've got a whole new tag to it.
It's wonderful.
It's amazing. Like they really do, if you allow them to, you know, and you play with it and you make sure that you're present on stage and not just joke robot 2000, you know, you
That's
can.
so freaking true. Like that's Chris Rock in his last special did a joke that he did on like his first album, like his first EP before Bigger and Black or before Bring the Pain, which is like however many years ago, 30 years ago. Like he just did that. I thought that was so cool and relevant. Just because they are your little babies. They're never done growing, even though, you know, you feel like you've made them leave the house.
I mean, some of them you got to kick out of the house and like I don't want
The
to see you
problem
for a
child,
while. I don't
the
want to see you for a while.
problem children.
I'll see you twice a year, maybe. I feel like it, you know. But yeah, I think that is like a really fun thing about it if you keep open to the process. And one of the things I think that will allow that too, if anyone is you know wanting to encourage their brains to get there, is to change up the order of your set. That's the other thing, is we get so locked into whatever current feature set or current headlining set that we're doing, we're kind of like, all right. And you know, if you're working on an hour to record it, it makes sense to do it like that. But as we learned from your album recording this last time, because you switched up the order like what, the day before or something like that, you know, and that's honestly probably why it didn't go to number one. But
It's not I had a cut. I
you
didn't
had
trust
it and
it.
then in
And
the
then,
11th hour, you know.
damn it.
But
Stick to
no.
your guns, people.
But yeah, that's the thing I've been doing, is like just kind of starting in different spots. Or you know, like this past weekend I was at Comedy Catch in Chattanooga, and I just was very deliberately like, I'm opening with like a riff on Chattanooga, and I changed it the two different days. The first night I just did like stuff about the traffic, which Chattanooga is renowned for having like this terrible traffic because so many people are routing through there to get to Atlanta. So it's like stage one of Atlanta traffic. It's the first thing that you hit. You're like, oh shit, what? You know, that doesn't make any sense. So I just did simple, quick little riffs on that. And then the next night, you know, the Comedy Catch is inside the old train station depot, right? And so it's this like epicenter of like tourism and like all this nightlife stuff and everything like that. And the historic train center is still there and it's beautiful. So for like 3 or 4 hours before the shows that night, and then also into like the showtime too, we just swamped with kids getting their prom photos taken
Oh yeah, prom
all over
season.
the place. And so then I just riffed on that. I riffed on spending all day like just ruining people's prom photos, you know, and did like a dumb, but because I started off like I'm gonna riff on the city, which is not unusual, a lot of comics will do that. But I didn't immediately go into my normal like, and here's starting the set. I just let it kind of, you know, organically go from there. And I did a couple of things like I was not expecting to do with jokes. I kind of took jokes in a couple of directions I didn't think about before. So, yeah.
Wonder, like, you're a little bit more loose. The audience is a little bit more at ease. Hey,
Yeah.
he's talking about our city. He's one of us. We
Yeah.
trust this guy now. Do
Yeah, it's
you,
not.
playa?
It's not just a, yeah, we're not just watching him recite a well-memorized thing, you know, which is like, you know, it's always a thing. Like if you comment on the previous comics, if you have a tag or a callback to a previous comic, you know, something that lets them know that you're also there in the moment, you know, is great. Amy Brown from Atlanta was the host that weekend, did a great
Oh, I
job.
love Amy.
Super fun energy, everything good hang. And then the feature was a guy from San Jose, California named Phil Johnson. And guy's been doing it a long time and kind of an interesting act. He has a couple musical things. He plays a guitar and he has a couple of musical things, but he also has like just observation. I don't know. It was just kind of an interesting, it was an interesting combination
It was like
of things.
a little bit of it. Like everyone was different,
Everyone
it
was
seems
different.
like.
Yeah. Amy's like wacky and like dirty. She's like dirty and nerdy is kind of her brand, right? And that's a good way to put it because even her dirty jokes don't, even if she is talking about, you know, vibrators or whatever, it's not, no one ever feels grossed out. No one feels like, oh, this is too much because she's just so likable and everything. And then, yeah. And then Phil had, like a sort of a variety show thing. I don't mean that in a demeaning way, but because he did also play the guitar, it just added a different element. But yeah, Danielle, the GM, she even said, she's like, we don't normally do musical acts in the middle. You know, he was on tour. He had been in the news. He's like, he has his guitar and stuff with him because he's out doing shows on the road. Do you care? Like, I can tell him no. And it's like, I don't care, you know? You know, and she said, you know, sometimes headliners don't like it because it's
I'll follow
hard
a
to.
guitar.
Yeah, well, that was the thing, is like, she's like, sometimes the headliners don't like to follow because it changes the energy so much, you know. And he's a great, you know, he's a former musician, you know, so he's a great guitarist, he's a great singer and everything. And the songs are like comedy songs, like you would hear on Bob and Tom or something like that. And so, and I was just like, I don't care. I'm like, not to sound cocky, but it's like, I'll be fine. Like, I'll. And I was, I was like, my first set was a little loose, and I kind of got lost in the middle because it was my first time on stage and since London, and really, and then, but then the other three shows, I just was like, you know,
Nice. Four shows.
put it down. Yeah.
That's dope, man. There's good turnouts.
Yeah, they were decent. You know, like, there's the first really beautiful weekend. And I don't know how much they papered the room, you know, because it's my first time there. Nobody knows who I am, you know, but if they did, it worked. Like, it was, you know, it was pretty good. Particularly the Saturdays were pretty full. Yeah, I would say I was pretty happy with it. I don't think the club lost money.
That's always a W.
I think enough drinks were sold and food was bought that everybody got okay, you know?
Leaves that sliver of hope that they'll bring you back
Yeah,
next year.
exactly.
That's
Yeah.
so four shows. Did you film them all?
I did, and because I had forgot to pack my shotgun mic for my camera, and I did not realize that I had manually set the audio output on my audio input on my camera to the external mic thing, so it captured no audio whatsoever.
Oh my God. I feel like every time you have really hot sets, which you didn't say,
Yeah.
but I assume you
They
did
were
because
solid. They were solid. They
you
were
didn't get it
solid.
on film.
Yeah, they were solid. I've also don't care. I'm now just taking my camera because I bought it and I might as well, but I really don't have any interest in clipping stuff up. I really don't. Like, I've just kind of given up on that working for me. So, I mean, it would be nice to get like a new feature or like headlining set to submit to things. That's like a brand new in the, you know, of this current time and what I'm talking about. But yeah, so it wasn't that big of a deal. It didn't catch her. It's like, meh.
Yeah, fuck
You know,
it. That's
the room is also a little echoey. It's kind of like a big, tall ceiling room. So it's not the best room, probably, for
to
taping.
capture.
Yeah, just because the audio, no matter what's going to be a little odd, probably.
Yeah, that makes
But yeah.
sense.
But yeah.
That's a
But great
fast weekend.
time. Highly recommend it. I had several comic buddies message me, like, so what's that? What's Comedy Catch like? You know,
Really? That's
wanting to
so
get in
funny.
there.
Oh,
Yeah. Like,
man.
whenever you post a new club that someone hasn't, they're like, oh, what's the deal with that? You
All
know?
the time, dude.
Yep.
All the
Yep.
time. It's always veiled. It's sweet because it's always
No,
veiled. I'm like,
these were direct. These were
no,
like,
they
these were not like,
weren't.
how was your weekend? How's things? One of them even I even got before I even did it. They were like, how's that comedy guy? I was like, I don't know. I'm not there yet. Like, I'll fill you in, you know, and I did let David Brooks know how the club was later,
That's
David.
good. Yeah. Man, David will hit you up.
He's
He
got that
will
hustle, man.
ask. You
You
ever
gotta
had someone
ask. You gotta
you ever
ask, you know.
what do you say when it's someone who you don't want to vouch for?
Well, David didn't even ask for me to vouch for him. He just
No, I'm
said,
not. I
what's it
mean,
like?
I'm
And
not
so I
saying
broke it
David,
down.
but
Yeah. Yeah.
several times people would be like, I'm like, hey, leave my name out of it. Shoot your
Yeah.
shot.
Do you tell them to leave your name out of it?
No, if someone's like, hey, can we use you as a reference? I'll just say, I don't think that's how that club works, but here's the
That's your code.
email. Yeah, when I used to ask the comic BT to bring me on the road, and he was very honest. He'd be like, I'd ask him, like, hey, I was trying to get into the fucking loony bin or whatever. He'd be like, I don't think they're gonna headline you yet, but
Yeah.
here's the info. This is how they do the booking. And it's very, I mean, that's helpful a
Yeah.
lot of times. It's more helpful than being like, hey, use my name, even though I don't have that much pull with this club.
Yeah, I find that's more the scenario that I'm in now is I sometimes people will ask. I did have two different people ask me if they could feature for me at the Comedy Cache, and I was like, I've never been to this club before. It's my first time. I don't know these people. I was like, I can find out if they have a feature already or whatever, you know. And so I emailed her and she was like, yep, we've already got a feature for it. I'm like, cool, awesome. And then I had to let these two different people know, like, you know, nope, sorry, they've already got it booked. But yeah, I think if someone, I will always share information. If someone says that, like, can I drop your name or whatever? I think I'm also like you. I'm a little like, I don't know if that's going to help or not, but if you want to, I have had people ask for Jared's booking information for the Comedy Attic and also the Funny Business. That's also happened at Funny Business. Both of these are years ago, though. So if anybody's listening to this podcast that recently asked for a recommendation, I'm not talking about the, this is like, it, this is pre-pandemic, at least, if not a couple of years before that, where I was like, didn't want to be a dick about it. So I'm just like, yep, here's the information. And then I separately message those people like, I do not vouch for this person. Like they're gonna say that I do. Because nowhere in my correspondence with that it was like, yeah, tell them that I sent you. I'm very like, here's their contact info again. Like, I don't know if references count. I don't know if that matters with these people. You know, and for a long time, everybody thought that I also sort of co-booked the Comedy Attic because of Limestone
Dude,
stuff.
everybody thinks if you do an open mic in Bloomington, people are like, hey, how do you get in there?
Yeah, and so you know, but there have been times that I had texted either Jared or you know the someone at Funny Business and just been like, hey, you're gonna get an email from this person. Like either, and this is really the most, this is most of the time that I've done this. I only did this a couple times. Like I've never seen them do more than 5 minutes.
Dude,
So I don't know if they got 30. I was like, judge them by their tape. I was like, I was like, this is, I'm not, if they drop, I don't know how they're gonna frame it, but I'm not asking for a favor. I've met this person once at an open mic and saw him do 5 minutes. I
I
don't know.
co-headlined the open mic with Matt Alano Martin, and he said that I could. So this is my next point. It's like if you're asking to open for someone directly or asking for a reference, make sure that they've seen you do at least the amount of time that you're asking for. Don't do a guest set on my weekend and then be like, hey, can I have all your booking contacts? I'm gonna
Yeah.
start hitting them up.
Oh my
That's
God. Hey,
nuts.
can I have all of your booking contacts? Like
Hey, can you book this tour for me?
you would think people wouldn't be that brazen, but it just happened not that long ago, where someone was just like basically asked that, like, hey, can I have your spreadsheet? It's like,
No.
no.
Are you
Fuck you. This
insane?
is like what I've spent years building, and these are people like, I'm just gonna hand this over to you, you know? And maybe that's shitty. I don't know. Like, but here's the thing is like, if you gotta earn that shit, like you and me, like we exchange information all the time. You know, like Brent's been really good about that stuff. And, you know, and like, even though, you know, we talk about Brent all the time because we both work with him and he's a great dude. Brent is ahead of us in a lot of ways in comedy, but you and I still get into rooms that he hasn't gotten into yet. You know, and so he'll be like, oh, what's the deal with that? Can I get that booking information? Yes, 100% all the time, every day, all day, you know. But it's a case by case scenario
It
because
is.
I don't think you've ever said, like, hey man, can you shoot me your Excel spreadsheet? So I can just see which ones I'm missing.
That's outrageous and a
Yeah.
waste of time. Don't do
Yeah.
that. Don't
Yeah.
do that. That's crazy. I don't mind people asking for booking info because you have to do that. Like
You have
I
to share
just
info. Yeah.
like part of the booking challenge, which is starting to show itself in very nice ways, I might
Good.
add, was me reaching out to people I've opened for to ask, hey, you're gonna be in these cities. Mind if I tag along? Like that's better than going. This has also happened. Someone's gone around me and been like, hey, I've seen this person work this club. They know who I am,
Right.
which
They
is
don't even give
like
you a heads up. They don't even
super
give you
shady.
yeah. Yeah, the going around thing is always, yeah. If you cannot be dropping people's names without them their knowledge, you know, it's just not a good look, everything. Yeah, for sure.
It's bad news bears, baby. Bad news
Yeah.
bears.
Yeah.
But that's cool, man. I think it's flattery when people want to open up for you. I think
No,
it's
in both cases, both these comics, good comics,
they didn't
good
ask to
com
open
they're
up for you.
they wanted to get in with that club is what is more. They did ask if like, hey, do you have a feature? And it wasn't because they particularly wanted to work with me. I know both of these comics well enough, and I no shade on them because honestly, it's not like they're paralleling with me, so there's not a reason that that would be a big deal for them to open for. It wouldn't be a big deal for anybody, but you know, it's like just as long as they've been doing it and what else that they normally do. I was like, oh no, you're just trying to get in with the club, which I 100% respect, and I would have taken the first one who asked. I would have been like, yep, cool, come on, you know, but it was already booked up, you know, so with this other comic, so yeah.
Well, that's part of it, man. Both
Yeah.
sides, both sides.
Yes, but it was a great experience. The staff of the club is great. The comedy condo that they put you up in is perfectly nice and clean and very close by. Like,
Love that.
and there's tons of shit to do right around there. Like, I didn't drive at all once I
Oh,
got there.
that's awesome.
Like, yeah, like I just parked at the condo. I walked over to the venue, walked around to get food, you know, like met up with my buddy Buck, who I hadn't seen in probably 25 years, an old college friend of mine, probably more than 25 years. And he messaged me out of the blue. He's like, hey, I live in Chattanooga now. I'm going to come to the show, but do you have time to get breakfast? And I did. And it was really, really rad, man, because it was one of those things like I'd not seen this dude for 25 years. I casually follow him on Facebook. And like, so I know. Politics wise, like, okay, we're like on the same page, right? But it was just cool to see this dude and like how he's grown up, man, because we were kids, you know, and he's just like a really cool grown ass dude now with a family, and his worldview, it was right on. Because when I knew him, he was like an uber Christian dude, like
Oh man,
very nice
he
dude, but he
made
was
it
like,
out.
yeah. And yeah. And so I was just like, we'll see how this goes. 'Cause I'm doing a big chunk on religion now. We're poking fun of it. But he and his wife both basically, as they went through college and then grad school, were just like, you know what? If we actually read this analytically and
I love that.
look at it, it is like, I don't think this is real. You know, like, I don't think this is, you know, so it's just very, very cool to like just vibe with this dude after 25 years and it'd be cool. So yeah.
That's dope, man.
Yeah. It was a good weekend.
I can't wait to go back to Chattanooga. I've only been once, and I love the city, but I was so broke when I went that all I ate was Subway.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I have not experienced Chattanooga food.
You should check it out. And also, before I
Hey Matt, who
get to
books
your weekend, yes,
that?
it's booked at dwightsimmons@gmail.com. Ask for that Rolodex, baby. Like, can you
Oh man, the
just
Rolodex.
mail me your Rolodex? I'll mail it back to you. I'll mail it
The
back. I just need to copy it
Rolodex.
down.
Oh, the good old days.
Before I ask you about your weekend at Commonwealth, though, I do want to give a shout out. Donnie Marsh, a great Chattanooga comedian, came out with his lady. I offered him a guest spot. He's like, no, I'm just here to support and chill, and had a really good
Wow,
chat and
Donnie.
catch up with Donnie. And I'm sorry that I can't remember. Sarah, I think, might be her name, his girlfriend. And it was cool. It was cool that they
Oh
came out. So,
man, we don't
yeah.
deserve people like Donnie turning down stage time when his lady's there. Like, if he was by himself, you think he'd have been like,
I don't know, maybe. But I mean, I think he, I don't know. He might have just, he's a cool enough dude. He might have been like, no, I'm not really mentally ready for that, prepared
love
for
that.
that, you know?
What a
Yeah.
self-actualized human.
Hell yeah, dude. Grown ass man. So after your warm up at the brewery, Mike, you were then featuring at Commonwealth. Was that all weekend long?
That was two shows on Friday night. So one night, two shows featuring for Casey Shronima, who I'd never seen live. I've seen a ton of her clips, but very, very funny, a true pro in the room. It's like the sets I've seen have been like very joke, 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 and probably the reason why is because they're professionally taped sets
Right,
for
yeah.
TV. But very, very funny riffs. Plus, like, man, we shout it out all the time, but Commonwealth just does everything right. They know how to structure a show. Every like I had two really fun sets. Sean Braley hosted, set him up nice, had a couple of guest sets, and then I just had to do 25 minutes, which is like the perfect spot for me right now. I can get into my stuff. It's enough time to play around with it, be loose. And I felt really, really happy about both of the sets. It's like, okay, some of the shit's coming together now. Some of the shit's coming together now. But man, I love that room. If I could own a place, it would be a room like that. It's just like, it's big, but it feels intimate. You know what I mean? I try to like recreate that with the brewery shows that I run, and it's like impossible. I don't know. They've cracked the code.
Well,
Silent
there's a
ordering.
difference. There's a difference between big open spaciousness of a brewery and the big openness of a church. Because for those people that don't know, Commonwealth is a former church that they turned into a godless heathen comedy club.
Oh,
And
so
so
many curse words.
even though it has like a big giant vaulted ceiling, it still was designed for audio, for speech, right?
Right.
Like the whole thing is designed for you to
Yeah,
listen
but
to
it's
someone
not like
talking.
echoey like
Right.
some
Yes,
churches. It's not
exactly.
like a hall. And they do the thing where, you know, I think they've stolen from being comedy fans and going to actual good comedy clubs versus bad comedy clubs. But to have a video playing your upcoming acts is such
Yes.
a
Oh.
small detail that is tremendous. Like, just
Tremendous.
gets.
And why wouldn't you do it? That I will say that is one of the odd things I found about Comedy Catch is they had a big projection screen that the entire time that people are getting seated before it goes up to like the announcements and all that kind of stuff and the hype tape, right, to
Yeah.
get the we're starting the show, they were just playing people's specials.
Oh, the whole thing?
Like a fucking full comedy special off of YouTube or Netflix or something, but they were just like, so like we're all like, great, I get to follow like this person, you know,
What?
like
That's
and the thing
not.
is like it was just I kind of like it wasn't super loud. The audio was loud enough that if you really wanted to, you could probably key in on it,
Yeah.
but it was just kind of playing in the background. And I guess it's way better than what the Looney Bins used to do,
Oh my,
particularly the one in
they,
Little Rock.
dude.
Would do like it was like
This is like,
basically funniest home videos, but like the more fucked up version is all
yeah.
like here's a bunch of random videos of people getting hit in the nuts
Yep.
and like fucking
Chive.com
chive.com type
falling off of a
shit.
ladder.
Yeah. And it's like, well, this is gonna be quite the letdown when it's just people talking after
Yeah, like
this, you
it
know?
always sucks when people are like dying at those videos.
Oh my God.
They're like, the like they're losing their shit. You're like, oh, this show's about to suck.
Yep.
Morty's used to play like homemade, send in your videos and we'll play them. Because there were a couple comics that ran the club too that would make videos. They would make sketches and they would play them at the beginning, like in between while people were sitting. It's so fucking hilarious to me that that's what you came up with. Just the upcoming acts,
Yeah.
you
Have some
book them.
music playing and a
Yes.
slideshow of upcoming acts, so you're just constantly reinforcing, hey, why don't you
This
come back
is
in 2 weeks and see Dwight Simmons? Why don't you know?
that's great. I love it. I love their attention to detail. Dave Rich was at the first show, stopped by. Very nice.
Did you have any answers for you? The answer for answers for him. Did you have some answers for him?
He had some suggestions. No, he said he said that it was the best set he's seen me do, which I don't know how to I didn't know how to take that, but
What's great about a statement like
I
that is
go,
it kind of is a compliment. But you could also totally say that to someone as an insult if you really
yeah, you
wanted
could.
to.
You'd be like, I was like, it was good, but that wasn't the best. I was like, no, I only did 25 minutes. That's probably why you enjoyed it. But yeah, it's I love that room so much. I can't wait to be back.
Yep, they do it upright for sure, 100%. And shout out to Sean and Nathan and Yacoba. I know that Sean listens to the podcast because he messaged me last week. It's like, so what's this app that you guys are talking about? I got a couple of messages of people who listen, like, give me the deets
Yeah, I
so I
gotta
can look it up,
know.
so I can look it up and make fun of it. Okay, good.
I gotta know.
Yeah. So We do actually have, I lied to you. You asked before we started rolling if we have a question of the week. We didn't have one come in through the official channels, which is mattanddwight@gmail.com. That is mattanddwight@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. If you got a question, we'd love to take a stab at it and give our approach to things. And this one actually just came in as a direct message to me, not meaning for it to be on the podcast, but it's a good question for the podcast. So hopefully this person's okay. I think they would be okay, but I'll give a shout out. It's Thomas Gerson, younger Bloomington Comics. He's been doing it for a while here, right? And he asks a very solid, valid question. Okay. And so the question is, he's like, hey, how do you feel about doing a local reference at the front of a tape? Like, if I'm trying to get a tape, should I avoid doing a joke about Martinsville? And so this is, first of all, good insight to know, like, this could be a potentially an issue, right? Mm-hmm. And what I wrote back to him was, like, I think ideally you wouldn't do it, but he has a joke about being in an interracial relationship, and then he uses Martinsville in it.
Yeah.
And it's like, with context clues, most people are going to get it, like, oh, Martinsville is like a small redneck town, right? It kind of explains itself. So I can see why he's on the fence about it. It's a soft, easy, quick opening joke. Obviously, it works well in Indiana, where everybody knows the stereotype of Martinsville. But I was like, it technically would work, but probably not. You probably don't want to do that, you know? And then I just also reminded him, is like, you know, like, you don't have to, most submission tapes don't need you walking on stage. You can still open with that joke and get the pop and then cut it off. Just start the tape after that joke. You're already on stage and then you're going into your next joke. But in the same thing, because we see this sometimes with submissions to Limestone, is the first thing a comic's doing on stage is he's referencing a previous comic set that night, which we have no knowledge of. The review panel is like, I have no idea what this first 30 seconds or 45 seconds is about, because we didn't see that set. And again, it's blowing up the room. It looks like you're an amazing comedian because everyone in that room knows what you're talking about.
Yep.
But the video is a very different story. So for sure. I mean, I think we're probably in agreement with this, right? That it's probably a bad idea to have local references in a submission set.
Yeah, definitely. Depending on what you're submitting to. Mm-hmm. If you're submitting to something locally, it's fine. You still want to take all those things out of your submission set, anything that's so niche and local and specific and even topical, like that's tough. Like, I'm not saying don't write topical jokes, but sending them in, you don't know when everyone's going to see that or watch that. If you can make it regional or like state focused, I think that's okay. Like, instead of Martinsville, you were like Indiana.
Right. Because nationally, there's a stereotype about Indiana.
Right.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You may not get the same pop in the room, but for tape, it works better.
And for, on the topical thing, another reason to avoid it would be, you don't, if you get a really good submission tape, man, you're probably going to, you know, you want to use it for at least the rest of that year. Possibly even the next year, because we talk about it on all the time on here. It's hard to capture that magic tape. And if you get a really killer 7 to 10 minute set on tape, it can open a lot of doors for you. You can get into a lot of festivals. You can get like a lot of like smaller bookings and things like that.
Yep.
To that, along with topical, if you say the year in your set, man, don't do that.
Yeah.
Because I have an amazing set that I could only use for that 1 year, because I did wind up using it the second year too, but like my 10 minutes from Punch in Austin, Texas, this was like 2017 or something like that. Mm-hmm. I fuck up and say the name of the year in that set. And so then I was like, I went ahead and used it the next year too. But then after that, I was like, I can't send this anymore, because people will know how old this clip is.
Right.
You know? And anyone who actually knows me could tell how old the clip is. Cause like, oh, your beard wasn't completely gray yet. Would you? Oh, you look at you, you're like 30 pounds lighter in this. What's
Dwight? Yeah. You got a lot of hair up top. Yeah. You got an afro. My God. Yeah, dude. It's to bring it back to what you said earlier, which is like, all right, I'm going to spin this set like referencing something local. This is a great skill set to have once you're in the room. It doesn't translate into submission tapes.
Yeah.
So the things that translate into submission tapes are strong openers or beginnings, whether you edit it or you just open that strongly, the room's already hot, and then you can start your submission tape. And then a strong closer, quick, concise, and trying not to take advantage of, all right, you never want someone watching your clip to be like, oh, he's just doing something that's very easy, which is making local references. Like that can turn people off right away. You want to take as many things away that can turn a booker off, because it won't take much if they're watching 500 submissions.
For
No
sure.
Air Bud references. Don't reference Air Bud again. I swear to God, Matt will find you. It'll be like Taken 5 or whatever. Which one are we on? It'll be
I don't know.
John Wick 5.
I don't know if we've actually talked about that on the podcast,
Oh,
but that maybe we
we
have.
have.
But we have. Okay, I know that
We've
you and
talked
I have
about it.
talked about it. That's a very specific example, but it's also true because none of these comics are doing Air Bud material. They're the one comic in their scene that's doing the Air Bud joke. It's also a sense that they're not traveling enough, because I guarantee if they went up the road to the next scene, there's another comic of the same age demographic doing it. I mean, there's it's an epidemic amongst a certain age group of particularly white male comics, although I've seen some female comics do their Air Bud material too. And so it's just like, it's, yeah, man, like that kind of like overplayed stuff is going to get you, demerits. And also, I
Caitlin
think
Clark
there's,
opened the door so that female comics can do Air Bud material.
yeah, there you go.
Thank you, Caitlin.
So, but yeah, so I think good instincts on Thomas's part there to ask, to reach out and ask someone who's been doing this a little bit longer. Is this a good idea? So excellent, on you, Tom. Yeah, I think it's makes sense. Makes sense for everybody to just kind of remove those things and think about your submission tape as a standalone little island. Everything has to be self-contained, And I will say, I also saw submissions that this past year when I was pre-screening it, and I watched like the first 40 seconds, and this person is murdering, and they're a good comic. But it was also, and it, went to the review panel and they scored it. But it was also like, because I know this comic a little bit, I also knew it was like their show that they run. And I'm like, this is the most home court advantage submission set I've seen in a while, because it's like they have like this regular show with a regular fan base that comes in that's like rooting for them already. And so I was like, all right, smart. It's like, if you're gonna send one tape, it's the same
Do
thing.
that
Like,
100%.
it's
Film
like
your
film it at the Comedy Attic open mic or a Comedy on State open mic where there's actually people. Yeah, like it's the same thing. It's just, it was like a notch above that, for sure. Speaking of shows, do you have shows coming up that you would like to plug?
Plug. I will be in Washington, D.C. For Vonnegut fundraiser. It is at Jones Day Law Firm, downtown Washington, D.C. Tickets at kvml.org.
How much are those tickets?
They're donation-based.
Okay.
They are pricey.
Yeah.
So it is a
Their
big
law firm in
fundraiser
Washington, D.C. fundraiser prices.
with special guest Lewis Black.
Yeah,
So
he's, that gets nice. You're letting him open for you. I think it's good. You're giving them a guest set.
yeah, I said, you know what, Lewis? You know what? I'm gonna give you a shot here.
Yeah, like ageism is a real thing in comedy,
It
so
is.
we're gonna give you
It
a little
is.
chance. Yeah.
I sent it to the review panel and I said, what do you think of this guy?
And they're like, so much yelling.
So much yelling. Very long setup.
Yeah.
Very long setup to a joke. But I will be in, I want to plug May 10th and May 11th. I will be at Comedy Corner Underground in Minneapolis. Love that room. Love that city. Please come out to those shows. It's a door deal, baby.
Yep.
Daddy's got to eat. So come out to those shows. I have that and more dates up at dwightsimmons.com.
Nice. I have an update, and this is, last year was all about the cursed recording, right? I feel like that's still, we're getting some remnants here. This year is all about the, I'm sorry, the headliner's bringing their own feature last minute.
Oh
canceled week. So I
No
will not be
way.
at the Comedy Attic this weekend.
We knew that though, right?
Yeah, we knew.
We expected that.
I was not surprised when I got that call. And you know what? Maybe it's on me. This is what I get for just asking Jared to feature just because I'm broke and not being like, I love comedy. I just want to perform, you know? Yeah. But yeah, so Jared broke the news to me and he's like, he was more upset than I was. It was like, I'm sorry, like agents keep doing this shit last minute and blah blah
he
blah.
He takes it personally. He,
yeah,
really
he takes
does.
It very personally. And I was just like, it's fine, dude.
Yeah.
But anyway, so nobody needs to go to the Comedy Attic this weekend. No reason to go. No.
Come to Annapolis, come to Middle Ground.
Yeah. Come to Middle, yeah, go to Middle Ground Comedy Festival, yeah. But no, so my next shows on the books are the following weekend, which I'm happy to say that working directly with those bookers and everything in the club, and I think I'm good. I will be featuring at Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids, May 2nd through the 4th. Mohamed Elshehiki is the headliner.
So
that'll
nice.
That'll be great. You'll get to hear my dumb shit, and then he'll come out with a bunch of very smart, nuanced political material, and it'll be good for everybody, you know?
My dumb shit. That's so funny.
Yep.
It's not like, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. I'm not going to, that's for the Patreon. I'm not going to say what I was going to say, but
we'll put it in the chat real quick. Put it. So I want to know what you're thinking.
I love Mahanad so much. That'll be fun.
Okay.
That'll be fun. Every time I get asked to, feature there, I think I complained about not featuring there.
Oh yeah.
I'm booked.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
I can't do it.
The book's really far out. I've had this week for a long time. I guess, speaking of which, I got rebooked at Saugatuck. This is I don't know, your comment is very hurtful.
No, but like
to me.
Like, no.
Which one of those am I? Which one am I?
It's not a one-to-one
allegation. The content that Dwight wanted to say for the Patreon is just him fucking roasting me. So yeah, I'm glad that you're saving it for the Patreon. I guess this is your own private Patreon where you just
you come for the number two album. This is what you get in the chat.
Yeah. Oh man. But yeah, on the booking front, I did just get rebooked back at Saugatuck, so I guess I did well. Which is, you know, if people remember that journey, it was one of my worst shows ever years ago. And I was surprised that they rebooked me. That's how bad the show was. It was horrifically bad. And so I was very surprised when I got booked to do it. Was it earlier this year, I guess, or late last year? And I guess the reviews were good because they're bringing me back. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Still not in the summertime. I got another fall one. Maybe they don't even do comedy in the summer. Do they do it in the summer?
They do it in the
they
summer.
They must,
yeah.
Right?
It's
okay.
Amazing. Yeah. You can't stay there because
they
you
just
can't
aren't
stay anywhere
me. They
close.
Aren't trusting me. Yeah.
I mean, the room's full no matter what. That's the crazy thing. I'm there.
Yeah, it was
in,
sold out when I did it in the middle of winter. So,
yeah. It's always full. I'm there in June and I cannot find a place to stay because it's the peak season and everything's so expensive. So I'll probably do one back and forth.
Yeah. Maybe just sleep on some millionaire's boat. Cause Alex Price did that one time when he did it. He just like partied after the show.
That's amazing.
And then like hung out and then like someone let him sleep on his yacht or some
shit.
Oh
my God. Yeah. I've never slept on a boat. So
yeah. Okay.
I've never been on. Maybe I'll do that. Mark that off the bucket list.
Okay.
Anyway.
Anywho. So all of your show dates are up at DwightSimmons.com. All my stuff is up at MadelonaMartinComedy.com. Every one of those has a hyphen in between, except for comedy and common, which there is a dot. We are going into the final act, which is always us just rambling a bit. We do have something we can kind of poke a little fun at. We're going to keep it vague a little bit, but someone turned me on to this and then I sent it to you. There was a comedy festival that the comics that they had in it had some of the most amazingly bizarre / horrible bios that either one of us have seen in comedy. Like a lot of the headshots looked like mugshots. Like they looked like they were miserable human beings that hated comedy.
It
and
said
then the bios were just crazy. in like how depressingly real they were. Like, I mean, some of those you're like, well, at least they're not making some shit up, or they're not trying to, spin it like, oh, I've been doing comedy for this long and I've been a featured performer at this open mic. Nope, they were just like,
No, there was no fake. There was no faking. It's like they asked the comics to send them selfies from a bad angle and terrible lighting. Don't smile. It's your
yeah.
driver's license photo. And a whole, it's like
And list the three worst things that have ever happened to you in your life. And
yes.
so, yeah.
This you're you know this comic from being adopted and finding out about it 3 years ago. You know this next comic is a social worker and a mixed martial artist. Like they nothing to do with comedy.
Nothing to do with
It
comedy.
was it's a
Yeah.
good read. It's a good
It's
read.
it was pretty fascinating, for sure. And I guess that is like what Freud and Schneiden or whatever that German phrase is, where you take joy in other people's miseries or
Oh yeah.
whatever. I mean, so there's a little, I was like a little bit of a dickhead, like, oh, because these people just don't even know. That's the thing, is like
Right.
these people are so green or so removed from the comedy. That's the weird thing about comedy, is there are people that will tell you that they're comics and think that they're in comedy,
Yeah.
but they're actually very removed from the larger engine of comedy. They're doing a very
Right.
sequestered, like they only do these really shitty bar shows in their small region, and it's like as different as, playing pickup basketball, at the YMCA versus the NBA, right?
Sure.
Like, and there's people like you and I who are like, we play like on a European league, you know what I'm
Yeah,
saying? Like,
we're
there's like a chance, a slight chance we might get into the
we
NBA, but we're
play
like,
and one street ball.
we got
We
some
are
sponsorship deals. We get,
yeah, we got a yeah. That documentary was eye-opening. They fed them
Oh,
like
yeah.
garbage and they didn't make that much money. So I
No,
feel
they did
like
not.
the
No.
comparison is on point.
Yes.
You want chicken tenders or you want fried chicken sandwich? Two options
Yes.
at this comedy club.
Man, but so I kind of felt like kind of an asshole, like, and again, we're not publicly mocking this, like I wasn't leaving comments like, damn, what's about your bios or whatever, anything like that. But it's also, it
That
is
voice
just,
is your internet voice.
yeah.
Is that's incredible.
I downloaded a special font so that people can really tell that that's what I'm doing. No.
Called Boondocks.
Yeah, but we do take, I don't know. It's like, it's I'm being we're being pricks. I'm being a prick by bringing this up, but it was to such a level, like, it was just like, whoa, so other comics need to see this to make sure that I'm not hallucinating and reading
Yeah.
this like wrong,
It's not being a dick. It's just true. It's like you don't have to put bios if you don't have a bio. Like, what are we promoting? You're not promoting these people. I know you want to give people shine, like you got into this festival and we're gonna talk about you, but you don't do that. Come on now. Like I wouldn't put it was just like so personal. It's such personal information.
Yeah, they didn't even need the bios. They could have just been like name and photo. And even like we already talked about, the photos were also not great most of the time. And it's like everybody has a smartphone now. If you just take the time to try, you can get a pretty good photo of yourself, And this shit does matter. Like, if you're actually wanting to, I mean, if you, these people, I'm assuming, submitted to this festival, I'm assuming that's like, something they tried for. If you're gonna try for, like, this is the positive lesson we'll take away from it, is like, you can scale this up too, right? Like, make sure you have a good headshot. How's your bio looking? Is your also don't let your bio be a bunch of horse shit that's clearly made up, or where you're making it sound like, you got to strike that line between honesty of what you've actually accomplished and then putting in the best positive light. Like that, I've seen bios of people that they're getting into their first festival, so they don't have festivals to reference or whatever, but they've been doing, comedy for, has been active in the Midwest comedy scene for the last 6 years. You've seen them on Helium, see them on stage at Helium, the Comedy Attic, whatever. All these things that are, you're not saying open mic at Helium,
You're
you're
not
saying
saying
on
open mic.
stage at Helium, technically correct,
You're not saying his coworkers think he's hilarious at the construction site.
Yes.
He'd be killing.
Oh man. Oh my God. So, okay, we're gonna just keep the dickhead shit going, I guess. There was a guest set this past weekend on one of the shows by a local guy, been doing it for a long time. Very nice guy. And then he got up there
Oh
and his
no.
Day job is that he basically works at a garage and he does like oil change. He does like the not even garage, like the oil change place. He's an oil technician, change technician.
Yeah.
And he did his entire guest set was about oil change humor,
I
and
love
then
this.
like how important it is to change your cabin filter, because if you
How
don't, he'll find
old was
it.
this person?
He's probably in his early 40s, probably.
Oh, that's too young for this. That's too
And
young for
so,
this humor.
but the thing is, like, me and the other comics were like, huh, okay. And on one hand, like, I want to almost take it like a challenge. Like, could I write 5 minutes of oil change humor and make it really funny?
Ooh,
Because
yeah.
he was just kind of like telling you the amusing stories from work that is probably, and again, he did fine because he was very likable. You know, the fact that he was a nice guy was very, everyone saw it in the room, right?
Yeah.
He was a local dude. And it's one of those things where, like, technically, yes, I guess these might be jokes because he did know to put whatever quote unquote is the funny part at the end.
Right.
But it really was just like he had a couple things about being divorced that were fine, like quick, simple divorce jokes.
Yeah.
And then it was like a solid 5, 6, 7 minutes of oil change humor. And
That is
as we were,
incredible. I want to see
yeah.
this so bad. That's so amazing. They say,
Yeah.
write what you know.
Yeah, it was
You
like
know?
he might want to, get
Oh,
out of
something
work
else?
more often, do something else. Like, don't you go fishing sometimes or something, dude? Ain't you got nothing else to write a joke?
5 minutes?
Yeah,
This
and
is coming from someone who is incredibly long-winded in this.
to his credit, he didn't do a character. He was not in his Jiffy Lube outfit. He was like, he was in, like
Yeah.
street clothes. He was in his, like, I'm gonna go up
Okay.
on stage clothes, like nice street clothes.
He wasn't
Like,
dressed
so he
like
wasn't doing a
Dave
character.
Chappelle
He wasn't.
doing, wasn't dressed
He
in a
wasn't in the
mechanic's
jumpsuit. He
outfit.
wasn't. He wasn't in the green jumpsuit. Yeah, but it was just one of those things where, like, okay, and like, do you, as like a older comic, like someone's been doing, do you step in and go, hey man, maybe some more relatable material,
Oh my God, this
or do
is.
you not? I tend to not do that.
Yeah.
Amy specifically asked me for advice, so I gave her one piece of advice, which she applied the next night. And it was like, oh, she's actually listening, and that's great and cool. And my
Yeah.
advice worked, which was nice, But like this guy, I didn't really know him. I'd met Amy before, so I kind of knew her a little bit. And she specifically asked, do you ever, we'll wrap up on this. How often are you like, do you take it upon yourself to go, hey, can I give you some advice to a comic?
Never.
Yeah.
Never. And I have to know you. I have to know you
Yeah.
and I have to care about you,
Yeah. Okay.
because if I don't,
So
if I don't,
back to never.
yeah.
Because Dwight has
I'm
two
never
categories. He knows you
like,
or he cares about you. That's
yeah,
it.
there's no Venn diagram
Megan is
with
the one
it.
person that's in that Venn diagram. And really, how well do you know her? Really? Like,
Know, where is she right now?
yeah, see, exactly. Yeah.
That's something I don't usually like talking specifically about comedy unless it's on this podcast with you, because I love you and I respect your opinion on most things.
That's one way, one-sided, but okay.
But I've never been like, hey, here's a tag for a joke. I'm not that guy. You know what I mean? There are people that will do that, that are better than. Yeah, so
Well, and there's people that do that are terrible at it, and that but
right.
they just love trying to tell a comic how to do their act.
Yeah.
And sometimes those are older senior comics, and their advice should maybe be considered at least. You should at least be like, okay, they've been around for a long time. But as Doug Stanhope once said, when a comic gives another comic advice, all they're doing is, this is how I would have done that joke.
Yep, 100%.
So yeah, I'm the same way. I don't, if someone specifically asks, and I will, or I maybe one or two times I might have given, like, I feel like I've given Emily a tag or an
Yeah.
idea. But I have to know you, and same thing, know you and love you,
Yeah.
and also know that you could take this or leave it,
Yeah. Well, like if you're, so I've done it where someone's hosting a show and they're hosting a weekend and it's like, hey, you're doing too much, or you're not doing enough, or like try to reset. Like that's different than being like, hey,
That's not critiquing their act. That's not like
right.
that's just like, yeah, a more professional like way to handle themselves on stage and like what that role should be. I think that
Yeah.
that's, yeah, I there's been a couple times where, I don't limit what my openers do, but if a host the first show is super filthy or whatever, then I might be like, hey, can you tone it down a little bit? Because you're like, you're the first thing up and it's 7 p.m.
We'll always have Arkansas, won't
Yeah,
we?
exactly. Yeah. Or luck, or in that case, you can just have the club replace the host entirely for the second night. So, which wasn't even our idea. We were both very relieved though when he said, no, I just got rid of him and we brought in somebody else. So it was
Thank
like,
God.
perfect. Thank you. All right. That does it for our time. Thanks everybody for checking out the podcast. You can rate, review us, like us, all that kind of good stuff. And you can always send us questions for us to tackle. The best place to do that is through our Gmail account, which is mattanddwight@gmail.com, mattanddwight@gmail.com. Final words I want to leave you with. Reservation Dogs on Hulu is amazing. If you've been sleeping on it like I was, I'm halfway through season two and it's on track to be one of my all-time favorite shows. I highly recommend it.
Oh, shoot.
It's funny, it's touching. I almost cried a couple times this season already. It's the good shit. It's that good shit.
Hell yeah. Now, everyone, send in why you hate Reservoir Dogs on Hulu.
Reservation Dogs, not Reservoir Dogs.
Reservation
Reservation
Dogs.
Dogs. Yeah, send in your racist hatred for these native indigenous kids. Dwight wants to hear it.